It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
What's the fellow's name on first base?
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
No, third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, baseball fans? Welcome to the Coach's Corner Sports Network and their weekly podcast of the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And remember, it's presented by Coach's Corner. And once again, five shows on Coach's Corner Sports Network. Of course, we have two podcasts. Let's start with the podcast. We have the Hot Grids podcast with Travis Jadon and Spencer Maddox. It's posted on the Facebook page at Coach's Corner. And then, of course, you have us, the coach, Carl DeMasi, the baseball fanatic, doing the Who's On First Base baseball podcast. We're into episode number 15. For August 4th, 2021. And three shows on the internet, Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night from 6 to 7. Then, of course, you got yours truly, the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on Saturdays from 9 to about 10:30 or whenever. And then, of course, we have our annual 19th hole golf show with the Herb Brothers. They cover the Masters four straight days. They do a great job. Check it out on YouTube. Well, Kyle, it's heating up. Baseball races are in full swing. We thought they would be a little longer, but it seems like the AL East and the NL East are getting hot. So what did you think?
Well, I got to tell you can see after the trade deadline that you see what direction these teams are going to go. And you're right. There's two big races. And let's start with the East. I mean, Tampa Bay and Boston have been trading places the entire season. Well, the Rays are on top right now. They've both made some additions at the deadline. But this is a four-team race. You can't count out the Yankees or the Blue Jays, who both made some significant upgrades right now. But Tampa Bay's holding serve.
Devil Rays, buddy. It's the Devil Rays.
I know. You're dying on that hill. I love it.
And anytime somebody's playing the Red Sox, I root for them. Let's go Devil Rays. You know, we want to talk about records quick, okay? Tampa Bay is 65-44. Right. The Red Sox is 63-45. They both are over the last 10 games, the Rays are 5-5. The Red Sox are 3-7. But the hottest team is the New York Cubs. I mean, the Yankees.
Oh, you just had to take my daggers. Oh, hey. They pick up Anthony Rizzo at the trade deadline. Yeah, the Yankees are not out of this race by any means. Been playing some really good baseball, and they're going to make a run at both Tampa Bay and Boston. And let's not forget the Blue Jays.
They're about 7.5 games out there, 55-49.
They're still in the mix, but I think the Yankees, this is going to be a big month for the Yankees. I'll tell you this right now.
I tell you right now, I know you've been bragging about sometimes. I think that AL West having two wild cards, don't count the AL East out. And we know in the Central, White Sox are the class act. They made some big pickups. The Astros are still leading the Athletics by 5.5 games. Let's go to the NL East. Oh, the Braves can't do this. They're playing 500 baseball, and they're what, 2.5 games out?
Yeah, they're literally right now, as it stands right now. So they are 2.5 games back. They're only one game behind Philadelphia. And, I mean, they're still hovering around 500. They've gone out and made some significant moves. Any one of these three teams can win that division. And I still believe the Braves are in the hunt.
Hey, Brew Crew still up 7.5 games there in the Central. Yeah. And then the Giants are still holding strong. They're holding serve 3.5 games on the Dodgers, which takes us into – our next question, who won at the trade deadline? And I think you got to go the Dodgers, and it hasn't affected them yet, but that gives them
will.
What do you think?
No, I love that they went out and made the move. Washington and Mike Rizzo decided, hey, this is the time we need to retool, and we got to move some guys. They moved two of their biggest assets in Trey Turner at shortstop, who can fill in, you know, for a guy like, you know, Corey Seager is still banged up right now. You get another big bat, and you just add more depth to an absolute monster. And then Mad Max himself, the guy that is a big game pitcher, knows how to win in October, has won multiple Cy Youngs. He heads out there, and, I mean, you're looking at – they're a little bit injured right now as far as the Dodgers pitching staff go. You're looking at Clayton. You're looking at May. And obviously Bauer's out for different reasons. You plug him in there, you put another World Series winner and an ace. It's crazy. The rich keep getting richer.
Bauer's, that was a good pickup. Yeah, class guy right there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Heck of a nice guy.
But, you know, hey, the Braves picked up four guys. You think they're going to help them get over the hump?
Absolutely. Yeah, add some depth right there, you know, for the Bravos right there. I mean, you go and you pick up Adam Duvall, who's loved playing in Atlanta before you add him. You're adding 22 home runs that he already had in Miami earlier. You had Stephen Vogt, who is really filling the gap as a veteran catcher. He had some really great years with a variety of teams, Oakland, you know, Arizona, you name it. He comes in there and fills in for Travis d'Arnaud, who should be coming back. He's already planning. He's already in Gwinnett right now, making a rehab start. Snitker the other day, Brian Snitker came out and said, looks like four rehab starts. Let's get him behind the plate twice. Let's get him at DH. Let's get him some at-bats and get him ready.
I mean, I agree with you. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. It's all presented by the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Well, I'm not doing this to rub it into you, but Javi Baez having a great season with the Cubs, and the Cubs were not having a great season, goes to the Mets. And didn't he get himself in trouble already yesterday in the clubhouse?
I mean, it's hard to say, really. I mean, I didn't really see that he got into all that much. I mean, Javi's a mercurial personality, but ultimately he has proven to be a great teammate, and I think he's a good asset for the New York Mets. Broke my heart to see him go. He's already putting up production. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Right now, the Mets need offense with their pitching staff being the way it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then we talked about it. Was Craig Kimball going to come back to the Braves? But where does he go?
He goes 9 miles to the south. 9 miles to the south. And that bullpen is filthy. And, I mean, the Cubs, I'll leave it with this. The Cubs and the Nats traded away the biggest pieces. They were the biggest names to trade players at the deadline. Now, I'll tell you this. Cubs got a big haul back in prospects. You trade away, you know, the great core. That's why I'm wearing this, you know, my 2016 World Series shirt. It just says it happened because sometimes I got to remind myself that it did happen. But these were all really good moves that needed to happen. Now, Kimbrel is a great move for the White Sox. You look at the back of the road. You look at the back. Your 6, 7, 8, 9 guys, that's a shutdown bullpen right there. And if they wanted to keep him with Liam Hendricks back there, they've got an option. I'm not surprised by the Kimbrel move.
Well, you know, I agree with you 100%. I didn't think he was going to go 9 miles south, but I thought somebody that needed him in the race would get him. But I got to tell you what, and this will be the last part about talking about touching all bases in the Major League Baseball races and trades. Rizzo and Bryant. There are two guys that will bleed blue and red for the rest of their life. And to see them get so sentimental when they got traded, I mean, the Cubs and the Nationals just did a fire sale. But I was pretty impressed by Brian Rizzo, how it affected them that they were leaving the Cubbies.
Well, that's just it. You look at two players that have played 7 and 10 years respectively. You know, Anthony Rizzo, I mean, I hate the fanboy on this. He's my favorite player of this current Cub, you know, regime, a part of the Cubs' greatest generation, will always be the captain. It wouldn't shock me. These guys are all going to be free agents. This Cub team needed to retool. And, I mean, that's just it. There's a chance that they could be tendered contracts, and they've earned the right to go out and test the waters of free agency. Chris Bryant, absolutely. I saw that. He goes to a really good situation. He's a West Coast guy, and he adds even more firepower into that giant lineup. Rizzo goes in there and adds an extra bat and an unbelievable gold glove level first base for the Yankees in the Bronx. So, and they've already produced all three of the big Cubs core pieces. Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant have all homered for their respective teams. So best of luck to these guys. I'd love to have them back on the north side. But, hey, this is a business right now, and they're going to help some teams get deep in October.
And that's what the trade deadline's all about. And, you know, even though you're loyal and even though you love where you are, sometimes you got to go where you don't want to go. But there's always the next season because some of these guys are just on borrowed time right now. So we'll see what happens. A lot of rentals. Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach? Sorry. Carl DeMasi, and you're fine. And Kyle Lawson. It's a podcast. What do you want? You step on me, I step on you. But I think if I stepped on you, I'd hurt a little more. But let's go. And it's all presented by the Coach's Corner Sports Network. All right, phase two or inning two. Braves focus, 2.5 games out.
In the hunt.
Who's leading the charge? Freddie Freeman. And at the beginning of the season, he was the MVP and he's horrible. We got to trade him. And then Lieutenant Dan. They were going all over Dansby Swanson. And look what he's doing. Seven RBIs with a grand salami the other night. Yes, we need some consistency. They're a 500 team right now, but I think they're going to start putting together, like Kyle, we've watched over the last 4 or 5 years, they're a second-half ball team.
100%. 100%. They really are, and I'm just going to throw some things out there. First off, they go out there and make some – the Atlanta Braves make some solid moves to get them through some injury help. Of course, Acuna being out for the year, and you're also waiting on some pitching to come back. You got to find a way to fill in some power in that lineup. They go out and add a familiar face in Adam Duvall that we mentioned before. He's already hit 22 home runs with Miami. They go out and hit Jorge Soler, former Cub, ended up had a few really good years with he started his career with us, won a ring.
I know.
And but he get Jorge Soler, who's got I want to say, 14, 15 bombs, with Kansas City. He comes over there, makes an immediate impact. They have a really solid series against the Cardinals, and they're still hanging tough. Freddie keeps hitting. Max Fried was solid the other night. Austin Riley, Dansby Swanson, Freddie, and Acuna. These guys. There is only one major league team with 20 or four guys with 20 or more home runs, and that is your Atlanta Braves right now. And some good news, Ian Anderson, he has been cleared to throw. He looks like he's going to need about 2 rehab starts, and you could see him before the end of the month. Now, we talked about catching and adding Stephen Vogt. Travis d'Arnaud, he's already at Gwinnett. Like I said, he's going to do a 2-2, 2 behind the plate. He's going to do 2 at DH. And also, you're going to see a little bit of depth with pitching. Hioscar Ynoa, he's going to come back mid-August. The Braves are going to get some help. They went out and made the moves they needed at the deadline. They are in this. This is a winnable division, but the next month is going to tell you.
Well, I'm telling you right now, yeah, I mean, they're starting to get hot. The stars, the leaders are starting to start play like we're used to them playing.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman's picking up with that hot bat again. What was he, 3-for-4 the other night?
Model of consistency. Like since June, he's put it together. He's done everything you expect with a Freddie Freeman. He's the leader of this franchise.
All right. So Freddie Freeman, 3-for-4 with a home run over
the
Cardinals. And his last 35 games, okay, he is batting .402. He's 53-for-132 with 8 home runs and 20 RBIs. Yes, Travis d'Arnaud, I had to write that down. That's not coming off the brain, but I'm telling you, that's pretty impressive. I'm not done yet. He owns a .484 on-base percentage over that 35-game stretch, okay? He's 1-to-1 in strikeout ratio. Freeman has hit 24 home runs. His at-bat ratio is 16.46, which is identical to his MVP season last year.
Dun-da-da-da. Big shocker. Freddie's stepping up what it means the most. So they've also gotten some good pitching from Freed, Smiley, Morton. Tukey got knocked around a little bit the other day, but those guys are holding it together. The bats are going to lead the way. They're going to get some more help at the start of the rotation when Mr. Anderson comes back. I wouldn't worry about it, Braves Nation. You're going to be okay.
And I know I'm throwing some this season trivia at you. Since the All-Star break, the pitching staff is second in ERA with 3.06 behind only one team. And they faced that team last week. Who was it?
Ooh, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
That is a nasty rotation, but we don't have time to talk about that.
But you know, the Braves did a pretty good job on him.
They really did. I mean, held it down. You look at Burns, Woodruff, that rotation. That's a filthy rotation right now, and that's what's carrying Milwaukee.
So we'll see what happens in this series with the Cardinals. I think then they come home and play the Nationals.
Got some more interdivisional games coming up here. And, you're going to really see maybe you can distance yourself. Obviously, you got to take advantage of those games against the Nationals, a team that's really stepped on the brakes saying, hey, we're retooling. We're stepping back. Three-headed monster. You guys go for it.
All right. I want you to go into that cranial vault, okay? I want you to look into your crystal ball, your crystal noggin. What do you think the Braves will take over and be in first place?
Honestly, I think
tough one.
Last week of the month. I really do. They get Anderson back. They get Noah back. and they keep getting production. I forgot about Jack Peterson, another guy they pick up that's giving them production there. You have to basically combine three different players in the outfield to kind of find a way to put production, get production for what you lose in a guy like Acuña, you know. But I think they're good enough to do it, even with the Mets heading Javi Baez. I don't believe in that pitching staff in Queens. I just don't.
All right, so there you heard it right here on the Who's on First Base baseball podcast. The baseball fanatic saying the Atlanta Braves will be in first place by the end of the month.
August September 1. You mark
September 1. I was going to give you August 30th, but we'll go to September 1. All right, so we're into inning number 3, and this is where we peel some bananas. And if if you didn't stay up all last night, if you didn't stand and watch and listen to the broadcast internet entertainer for 2.5 hours like I did, he was throwing us a little Bob Allen. Or it's, Shepard.
Oh, Bob Shepard.
Bob Shepard. He was throwing
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Go ahead. Let's do your Gina routine for him. I want you to hear somebody that can really do this, Mr. Biko.
Let's Ladies go. And gentlemen, for your attention, please. Now batting for the Yankees, number 2, Derek Jeter, shortstop, number 2.
Well, that's there you go. There's my Bob right Shepard. My little buddy was throwing him out there left and right. Holy moly, holy cow. I mean, he was all over the place. But he sat there, and he kept us entertained. And what did the Bananas do? After like 5 hours, they win 10-0, and they're playing for the Coastal Plain League Petit Cup. He's on his way up to Morehead City, North Carolina, no other than the Wizard of the Whiteboard, Mr. Biko Scala. Biko, how's it going?
Hey, real good, guys. Great to see you, Carl and Kyle. Thanks for having me on. We're, like 6 or 6.5 hours into the trip. We're approaching Morehead, so sorry if I get distracted. I'm on the bus right now, but really happy to be on the pod.
Hey, just don't let Klarno eat some roaches like he did on the commercial I saw today on the TV.
Oh, you saw the Klarno commercial?
I saw it. It's live.
I didn't know it's live. That's awesome.
Yeah. I wonder if they put some chocolate on it for him.
I don't know. He didn't eat one in the commercial, right? He didn't eat one on the commercial, right? He was just telling the story. I haven't seen it yet.
He ate a sandwich at the end. I don't know what was on that sandwich, but we'll never know.
Right, sure.
Sandwich.
There you go.
All right. Well, this all goes way back since we started the show. In episode number 1, we had Biko Scala on, the broadcast internet entertainer for the Savannah Bananas. We figured going into the championship series, let's get his outlook on the Bananas going for their second Petit Cup, the first one since 2016. So, Biko, last night, a heck of a night. I didn't think you were going to get the game in, but you guys did it.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it took obviously a lot of work from the coaching staff, which is the grounds crew. They did a lot of work on the field, and obviously the guys tarping it, untarping it. It was a 2-hour, 45-minute delay. Yeah. The big thing was both teams really wanted to and basically needed to get the game in, or else they would have been playing at 1 p.m. today and then wouldn't have had a day off going into the championship game. So, yeah, kudos to, you know, the whole coaching staff for keeping the field going for the first 3.5 innings or so, and then being able to get it ready again. I don't know. It's the game started back up around 11 p.m.
Well, Biko, I mean, I had the pleasure. I got a good friend, and I got to give a brief shout out to my good buddy Christian and his wife Brooke Edie at the UPS store, 6029 on Victory. Hey, I had to. He gave me some tickets. I got to go. We make it through to the rain delay. We get about halfway in, and I'm like, well, we're going to have to go because I got to get up and go to work tomorrow. But right. The atmosphere was just crazy. Had a ball. You were killing it. Had way too much fun at that ballpark. It was so good. We had seats right behind the dugout. But I got to tell you, I mean, you look up and down. I mean, everybody that has contributed to that, to the victory, they came out, they stayed loose. I mean, it's a credit to, you know, Tyler Gillum. They come back after getting that first inning run. Everybody gets involved. All the names that you know, I mean, Jared Beck was killing it. Bill Leroy, Danny Oberst. I mean, everybody chipped in to get that 10 runs. It wasn't a couple of quick bombs. Wild pitches, singles all over the place.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with teams, you know, trying to beat the Bananas all summer. You know, they were 36-8 in the regular season, and you don't finish a year 28 games over 500 in a 44-game season without having studs up and down the lineup. And, you know, they simply have the best pitching staff in the league and the best offense in the league. And that's a pretty good recipe for victory. Plus the third best defense errors-wise in the CPL. So they just do everything incredibly well. And as you mentioned, last night was a good encapsulation of what's gotten them to this point in the summer, which is just 1 through 9 in the lineup. You don't even come close to getting a break. You know, in the 8-hole, Bill had a couple RBI singles. Shooting the 9-hole, Jesse was 2-3 for 4. He was on base at least 3 out of 4 times. It's not 4 out of 5. It's brutal.
He was Phil Rizzuto last night, buddy.
He was the scooter.
He was laying down those bunts. It was beautiful.
And it's what he's been doing for 2 seasons here with the Bananas. I mean, when he comes up to the plate the first time, the catcher Alex Stone says, "Hey, we got a bunter here," and then he bunts for a base hit. And then he comes up the next time and he bunts for a base hit again. I mean, it's just you know it's coming, and he's still going to get you with it. He's so fast, and it's like he rolls it down the third baseline. I call him the greatest 9-hitter in Coastal Plain League history because I think he is.
Yeah, he's kind of proven it.
And holy moly, he did it last night. Yeah. So, all right, Pico, I know you're on that bus and you're starting to lose some connection here. Quickly, let's get into the Champion Series. The Morehead City Marlins, they came back and they swept the Pilots to get into the championship. This is their third year in a row there. Give us your quick breakdown on the match that's going to happen tomorrow night.
Yeah, no, the Marlins are obviously an incredibly strong team. They were the second best team in the East this summer, just 3 games worse than the Pilots, and they dismantled them in the Eastern Divisional Championship round. They beat them 8-2 and then 8-1. And the 8-2 victory, I mean, they had shut out the Pilots through 8 innings. So only allowing 3 runs in the 2 games, scoring 16, obviously, that speaks for itself. They have they're tied with Hogan Windisch. They had one of the top home run hitters in the league. They're very similar to the Bananas, and they do everything extremely well. So, as you said, they won in 2018 and 2019. Obviously, the CPL didn't have a true champion last summer with only 7 of the 15 teams playing. But, now that we're back to the league being in full strength, this would be a three-peat if they were able to make it through the Bananas. But, obviously, all the boys on the bus are going to have something to say about that.
Kyle?
Well, last thing, I'll tell you this, Biko. All right, late game, you come back, you bulldoze them. What's the mood on the bus? I know you got a lot of tired Bananas out there, coaching staff, you, and everybody involved in the organization. What's the mood right now heading to Morehead City?
You would think that the boys are tired, but they're full of energy, honestly. And that's how they've been all summer. You know, they get the rest on the bus. Obviously, we've got a 7-hour ride here. So, you know, we got some guys catching some Z's, but there's also a lot of nonsense. And this is the exact same mood that's been on the bus all summer. I mean, they started 11-0. They picked up another 9-game win streak during the regular season. Whether they're getting walked off in Lexington County or they're winning 19-3 in Macon, the mood on the bus coming back is pretty much the same. And that is how they felt coming up, going up to High Point Thomasville when they were down 1-0 in a 3-game series on Monday. You know, you wouldn't have known that on this bus if you had seen everybody. I mean, it's a really fast and loose crew, and there's a lot of laughs on the bus. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And you sounded like a New York day. You said, you know. So, but anyway, you've unpeeled, you and Jared Orton and the whole crew you got have peeled off this broadcast over the internet. I mean, I love the Bananas Insiders. I didn't pay for Flow Sports. I mean, it's just evolved. Give a big shout out to all these people. I mean, last night with those statistics, pitching statistics, hitting statistics, I mean, it was unbelievable. That's why I stayed up and watched it, because the information that was being passed and the graphics were unbelievable.
Well, I appreciate that, Carl. That means a lot. We put a lot of both money and time and effort into the broadcast. And,
no doubt.
I'm really happy to hear that you enjoyed it. We've stepped up our graphic game tenfold this summer. And it's cool to hear that the people appreciate it, because I get a lot of pride throughout every broadcast when, you know, someone comes up to the plate and we drop down their season stats, and then we have a pop-up on top of the lower third that has what they've done in the night. I mean, like, every time I see it, it's like I get chills in the booth. So I'm really happy to hear you enjoyed it too. You know, we've got a lot of numbers and stuff we're throwing in. Obviously, it's still the, you know, a lot of nonsense and shenanigans and the entire banana scene, but also it's kind of a, you know, it's how this team is run as well, that on the field, the product is incredibly strong, and we're trying to replicate that in the broadcast as well.
Well, on the field, in the stands, in the broadcast booth, the PA announcement is no other than the best in the business, the Shark. It's just one great organization. So, yeah, I mean, you got to love it, as we say, up north there in the state of New York. And I got to say something. You're a banana man. You wear yellow. But deep down, you really are an orange man. You know that.
Oh, yeah, come on. Through and through, I bleed orange.
You have to.
All right, well, Pico, I'll be listening tomorrow night. Go ahead, Kyle.
That sounds great.
Kyle?
Well, hey, Pico, best of luck. Go get him. Can't wait to see you back for game two. Sorry, I know you're driving through those mountains right there. But, hey, I appreciate you taking the time. And this has been such a fun season, and you've been a really great part of it. And thanks so much for coming on a couple of times with us this year.
Did you get that, Pico?
Thank you for having me. I don't know if you can see me. I just dropped out to like the netherworld, and now I'm back. Oh, so we got a big
change. Getting a little bit here and there, just, you know, technical difficulties. It's okay, buddy.
For my people.
All right, we're losing you.
All right. No. Well, hey, you be safe, buddy. Hey, best of luck. He's one of the best in the biz. Pico Scala does a great job broadcasting and entertaining us. Bananas Insider, if you don't have it, go out and get it, and make sure you have it for the next season. And, hey, we're going into the Pettit Cup, and Game one, we'll be in Moorhead City. Game two, we'll be at Grayson Stadium. And if needed, game three will also be at Grayson Stadium. It all gets started on August the 5th in Moorhead City. Tomorrow night, best of luck. Let's go bananas.
Hey, Moorhead City, is that in the mountains?
I think it might be, based on the fact that I can't hear anything.
I mean, how do you get the Marlins playing in the mountains? That's what I want to know.
I really don't know. And honestly, I didn't even look where it is. I see North Carolina. I think mountains. What do you want me to do?
I know it's in North Carolina. Hold on, let me check this out. Moorhead City.
Yeah, why don't you look it up? Because honestly, I just use that as an excuse for us losing the connection. I mean, it's probably coastal. No, hence the name Marlins.
It is coastal. It's right on the water.
Well, there's a lot of mountains there. All right. That one's on me. Either way, let's go up. Beat them Marlins and bring the bananas back, and let's take this Pettit Cup home.
It's right on the coast. Moorhead City is right on the coast. I didn't know that either. I thought it was in the mountains also. So, you know, I guess we're both wrong, but it's the Marlins because they're right on the water. I mean, there's no.
You think that would have given it away, but I guess I just didn't put two and two together there.
I mean,
jeez, come on, man.
Pinstones North. Jacksonville, spelled Jacksonville, Jacksonville, not like Jacksonville, Florida. So I don't know. We'll find out about Moorhead. But once again, two-time defending cup, Pettit Cup champions, the Savannah Bananas, 2016. Hopefully they'll bring it home this year.
A lot of firepower, and I'm really excited for it. So once again, tell us again, Coach.
You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Kyle Lawson, all brought to you by the Coach's Corner Sports Network. And we got a lot going on at Coach's Corner this weekend in the Soundgarden, gazillion TVs to watch baseball, the Olympics, you name it, they got it there. So we'll talk about what's going to be in the Soundgarden on Friday and Saturday night, tomorrow night, and of course on Saturday night. Okay, you gotta love live internet. You gotta love live radio. You know,
it is what it is. It is what it is, and we can make it look good.
And we do what we do. You know what I mean?
All right, we do.
I know he's biting at the bit. At the end of every show, we play baseball trivia. The coach against the Fanatic. All right. The Fanatic is up 9-3 with 2 ties. So we've gone 14. This is episode 15. So we're into the 15th game. Once again, the rules are we play 2 innings, 2 questions each. If it's tied, we go into a tiebreaker. We put the runner on second base, and whoever gets that question is the winner. All right. I went first last week drilling you. It's your turn now to grill me first. Top of the first inning, Kyle Lawson on the mound and throwing his first trivia pitch at me.
The inside the park home run, coach, is a dying art. You don't see it so much anymore. Who in Major League history has the most? I'm not asking for the number, just the player.
Ty Cobb.
All right. Well, you got that one.
You know how I knew that? Because last week, I researched trivia questions about home plate.
Oh, come on.
And Ty Cobb came up with 54 stolen bases, 54 times he stole home plate. And then they said he had the most inside the park home runs. So, okay, I'm up 1-0. Yeah. Okay.
Good work, Teach.
Here you go. All right, you're probably going to get this.
What you got?
Okay. What was the score on October 1st, 1961, when Roger Maris hit his record-breaking 61st home run? And who did the Yankees beat?
Well, they beat the Red Sox.
Okay, that's half. Now you got to give me the score.
1-0.
You know who the pitcher was?
Tracy Stoddard.
Okay. We're tied.
You like that? Hey, watch the movie 61, the Billy Crystal Yankee movie. I love it. So I've watched it so many times, never going to forget it. All right, question 2. This is a good one. This is about baseball uniforms. Can you name the first major league team to ever have numbers on the front of their jerseys?
On the front?
On the front.
Well, the Yankees were the first one to have numbers on their uniforms.
Period. 1930, yes.
Right, and they never did it on the front.
No, never have. Red Sox never have either.
I got to go with, I got to go with the nemesis. Well, the Yankees were their nemesis, and I know they've always had it on the front, that red number on the front, Brooklyn/LA Dodgers. First team on with numbers on the front.
You nailed it. Uh-oh. We got ourselves a fight right here in the early 50s. They decided to go with the famous red numbers in front of their shirts back when they were playing across the bridge in Brooklyn. All right. Well done, coach. So we're going to go bonus time. What you got for me?
Okay. No. I'm up 2-1, buddy. You got to get this to tie.
Well, then just ask the question.
Okay. This is a tough one.
Okay.
Name the first AL expansion team to accomplish each of the following. First division title, first league pennant, and first World Series champion. It's
in the American League. This is American League.
I said American League.
Okay. I just want to make sure I heard you. My computer's been giving me fits.
I'm staying away from the Cubs. No Cubs questions tonight.
Well, we sure as heck weren't an expansion team. Kansas City Royals.
Man, oh, man. Yep, 1976, first division title, 1980, first league pennant, and 1985,
world title.
World Series.
George Brett, right. Get out the pine tar. I'm flying the W, coach.
Okay, let's go. No. We're in extra innings now.
All right. Well, I celebrated too early. All right, finally. Question being, name the only pitcher to retire with 1,900 walks.
That would have to be Nolan Ryan.
Oh, my God. If he has any tracings of a Met, from your childhood, you're going to remember it. Man.
I know some trivia, Kyle.
Okay, fine. Now, hit me up. I'm smelling a tie.
This one you'll probably get. Okay. Name the first player born in the 1990s to appear in a major league game. I don't know if I want to make this easy for you. I'll make it easy for you. He tied the record held by a lot of people. He hit a home run in his first at bat and drove in a record 6 runs.
Starlin Castro.
I knew
against the Cincinnati Reds. I was listening to it on the radio.
Okay, I shouldn't give you credit that. You said he played for the Cincinnati Reds?
No, against the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, who did he do it for?
The Chicago Cubs.
I go 3-for-3, and I still got to wind up with a tie with you. All right.
All right. That was a good one, Coach. But, man, Biko killed it tonight. The Braves, they're making a little bit of noise. Three-game win streak. They got to keep it going this week. Another great show. This is going to be a crazy month, and I'm excited we get to do this every week.
All right. We got to plug our sponsor, Coach's Corner. Remember, it's all food and fun since when?
1991.
Okay, it's not just all sports now. It's all music and all sports
at Coach's
Corner. All right, tomorrow night, open mic, okay, with Tom Holland and friends. You want to tell us or show us how good you are? Get in touch with Tom Holland. Get hooked up.
Sign up.
You'll be on the stage at the Soundgarden. Friday night, it's the Monkey Man. And who do you think the Monkey Man is a tribute band for?
That would be the Rolling Stones.
That's right. August 6th, Friday, August 6th, 7 o'clock. Then on Saturday night, we come back with Grand Paradise. Tribute band for who?
I'm going to go with Guns N' Roses.
Close. Styx.
Grand Paradise. Oh, okay. Styx. All right.
Yep. So Thursday night, open mic, friends of Tom Holland, come on down. Friday night, Monkey Man, tribute band to the Rolling Stones. Saturday night, Grand Paradise, tribute band to the music of Styx. Whatever you may be doing today, tomorrow, or Sunday, what are you going to do, Kyle?
Always knock it out of the park. And Coach? Make it our best week ever.
Until we speak to you next week, may it be your best week ever. Once again, like you said, Biko Scala, good luck. Good luck to the Savannah Bananas. Once again, can't wait to see them bring home the Pettit Cup 2016. Here's a trivia question. In 2016... All right, in game two of the Pettit Cup, who was the internet broadcaster?
Oh, that might have been you.
The coach called the Masi, but I couldn't travel up to where they beat the Pilots. I couldn't travel up on the road trip, but yes,
I did. Peninsula, have, yeah.
Peninsula Pilots, whoever they are, okay? But I did claim the same. They were down one game. They won the second game. They went on won the third game, and they won the Pettit Cup in 2016. But who's bragging? Not me. You know that, Kyle.
No, never.
On that note, Kyle, God bless. Stay safe. COVID-19 Delta variant is on the rise. Wash your hands. Wear a mask if you have to. Please get vaccinated, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you later.